Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another Marvel Chronology episode, and we're continuing with our focus on Thanos. If you head over to the show notes, you will find a link to the Crushing Crisis website, which is an incredible resource for reading orders of different titles, different events, and different characters. We chose the character route and clicked on the Thanos link, which took us to a webpage that basically gave us an historical reading order of Thanos. So what I mean by that is it's not a publishing reading order. It's not his first published appearance and then straight through in order of each of those published appearances. Rather, it's a reading order that focuses on the order of the stories. So the earliest stories in the reading order are from Thanos Rising, the Jason Aaron miniseries. I think it was from 2013, I want to say, that focused on a lot of the early years of Thanos and his childhood. So we are now up to the Captain Marvel era, so to speak, the classic Thanos era. And this is really where Thanos became fleshed out as a character, and we started to understand his motivations. This is where he first became popular, where he first appeared in Iron Man 55. And it's all from the mind and the talent of Jim Starlin, a legendary creator, the creator of Thanos. Really didn't create Captain Marvel, but really created or changed Captain Marvel into the hero that we know, made him much more popular. Before that, I think that his title had been in danger of being canceled. Part of the reason Starlin got the gig, they figured, you know, this guy does have talent we can recognize, but needs to hone it, needs to refine it. And so, you know, we'll put him on this book that nobody's really paying attention to anyway. And we'll give him a chance to see what he can do. So we're up to Captain Marvel issue 27. We saw at the end of Captain Marvel 26, Thanos had kidnapped Rick Jones and taken him to parts unknown to apparently glean some information from Rick that only Rick knows and that will somehow help Thanos conquer the galaxy. So the credits for this issue, we have Mike Friedrich on script. The actual story and art are from Jim Starlin. The inks are by Pablo Marcos. Letters by John Costanza. And Jim Starlin is coloring himself. So, as I said, Rick Jones has been teleported away by Thanos at the end of last issue. Apparently, he's been taken to Titan because the issue is titled Trapped on Titan. And we see Rick Jones unable to free Captain Marvel and trapped on Titan. He's yelling at Thanos saying, "Let me go, you purple crater-faced gorilla." And his villainous captor, Thanos, again, this is only his third real appearance, fourth if you count the cameo he had in Captain Marvel 25. And Thanos is telling his guards to ignore Rick Jones and lead him this way to the Mind Cyclone, where apparently the information that Thanos needs will be extracted. So although this is just a normal sized issue, there's a lot of story here. It's really dialogue heavy. And so you really feel like you get a big, big chunk of story. Because again, this is a story that Jim Starlin had been, you know, working on in his mind for a long, long time. These characters, the story, and, you know, I guess originally somehow he was going to tell the story in Iron Man. And, we talked about it in on the issue where we covered Thanos' first appearance in Iron Man 55 and how Stan Lee apparently hated the story and took Starlin off the book pretty quickly. Starlin just drew 56, didn't have much to do with the plot on that one. But then he was given Captain Marvel and free reign, and he decided to tell the story here. And honestly, it fits a lot better in with Captain Marvel. I'm sure that Starlin changed some things around a bit to make it suit this book, rather than what he was originally going to do in Iron Man, but I think all for the better. So Thanos instructs his guard to put on the helmet that's going to extract the information from Rick Jones, telling the guard, the Badoon, to be careful because Thanos has not exerted himself thus far to have his conquest plans foiled by a broken neck. His mind contains vital information for which Thanos has journeyed across the solar system to extract. So, you know, Jones, again, with the Friedrich scripting, Rick Jones is given the pretty hokey dialogue as the Badoon is telling Rick, "Silence, whelp, you are powerless before Master Lord Thanos." And Thanos is talking about extracting the information and Rick Jones has threatened to extract his teeth. You bozo, if I ever break loose. Like, Rick Jones is going to be able to do anything to Thanos. Come on, Rick. Come on. So anyway, he gets attached to the machine. Thanos begins the operation, and we see little printouts saying that the machine is able to connect to both Rick Jones and Captain Marvel, and they basically extract all the information in their brains. And so Thanos is extremely happy, saying it's finished. His mind's encoded within Isaac. This is the first appearance we see of Isaac, the Titan supercomputer, which stands for Integral Synaptic Anti-Anionic Computer. A computer so large it fills almost the entire interior of Titan and completely runs the moon, according to Roy Thomas, the editor. So Thanos then wants to check the information, making sure he gets a proper record. And this is how Starlin fulfills the editorial dictate to give us a recap of recent events, which Marvel was pretty fond of doing back in the day to get new readers caught up, right? Like, if this was the first Captain Marvel book that you read, you know what's going on. So they used to do this a lot, where you get a page or two of exposition telling all about what's going on. So we get Isaac basically recapping everything that's happened in the past couple issues, Marvel fighting against Super Skrull and the Thing, and then Thanos eventually kidnapping Rick Jones and taking him to Titan. So once Thanos has verified that the information within Rick Jones's mind has been extracted completely, he says, "All right, great. Advance to the unconscious level of information that we've extracted, wherein the crucial information I demand, information Rick Jones is unaware he even possesses." So here we find out the true motivations of Thanos, and it's information that he needs to ensure his conquering of the galaxy. And in short, Rick Jones somehow has the location of the most powerful weapon ever created. And fans of the MCU, you probably should know what it is. Not Infinity Gauntlet yet. We're not there yet. This is pre-Infinity Gauntlet. Thanos is not yet searching for that, is not aware of its existence at this point. And rather, he's looking for a cosmic cube. So silence descends in the Great Hall, and Thanos sees the cosmic cube show up. Clearly, Rick Jones has this knowledge. He was unaware. And Thanos orders Isaac to print out the exact coordinates of the cube, and it's actually on Earth. And Thanos thinks, "My time has come," and he calls for the Super Skrull to retain command in his absence as he returns to Earth. And so the Super Skrull is like, "Oh, so my talents are recognized at last. I will be in charge." And then Thanos hands the Super Skrull a glowing orb, and he's like, "But what is this, sire?" He says, "An aid, my personal unisphere. It will protect you if perchance the destroyer should attack." He's obviously referring to Drax the Destroyer. And he says, "Or any of the other original Titans." And Super Skrull apparently is afraid of the Destroyer. The Destroyer has a reputation because he stutters. The Destroyer? "Sire, he has the power of a legion. No one has ever defeated him." "No one save you, Master Lord. Can a mere shimmering glass do the same?" And Thanos says, "You know what? I have spoken, and I'm your ruler. That is enough. And now I must leave for Earth." Transmit! I guess that's the Thanos equivalent of energize. And he disappears with a wink. So meanwhile, Rick Jones has been placed in some kind of a cell. And he's kind of thinking about his situation, bemoaning what's befallen him, thinking, "I'm trapped 800 million miles from home, just giving Thanos whatever he wanted. And I can't even break Marvel out from the negative zone because I'm handcuffed." And while Jones is trying to decide what to do, thinking about Luann being stuck on Earth, her mind being controlled by Thanos, somebody says, "Youngster, don't move." And we see that his handcuffs get snapped, and Jones turns and says, "Who are you? You don't look like Thanos's goons." And we see it's actually Mentor and Eros. So it's Thanos's father and Thanos's brother, and they basically tell Rick that they're fighting for a free Titan. Mentor talks about being the creator of Titan as it exists today and the father of Thanos. And Eros says, "Yeah, I'm Eros, man of love, man of adventure, famous in Earth legends, Thanos' brother." And Rick Jones is like, what? So you're telling me this is a civil war? And Arrow says that, yeah, I guess that's one term that you could use for it. We're basically struggling for our very survival against this madman who's destroyed that all that we've lived for. And then they start getting a little philosophical, which is kind of interesting. I'm not even sure what voice this is, but Jones is like, man, I can see having to fight somebody who's wronged you, but war's a drag, man. And Mentor says, yes, young one, when killing becomes impersonal and justice is washed away, if there was any to begin with. And Jones is like, then why do it? Why fight? And Arrow says, if we feel like we must, look at our world. See and hear what war has done to us. And again, I mean, is this Isaac talking? Is this the world talking itself? Because we get some dialogue boxes that again, they get a little philosophical, a little hokey. So again, just not sure who exactly is saying this. And, you know, Friedrich scripting, and it gets interesting. So some voice of someone saying, I am war, little human speck. Nothing stands in my path. I crush all who stand before me. All living things flee at my passing. Men to their homes, deer to their woods, birds to the air. But then I destroy the homes. I destroy the woods. I destroy the air. Look well, puny one. I have come to this land and I have fouled it. Once there were living trunks, now there's only rot. Once there were fresh breezes, now only stench. Once there were treasures of beauty, now only ugliness. I am war. Who are you, flea? Again, who is saying this? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. It's just really, really strange. But it affects Rick, apparently. Talks about the pain of war being a knife-edged. And we see Rick with a few tears. And he's outraged. He's angry. And he thinks that last question echoing in his mind, who are you, flea? And then Rick gets mad. The name is Rick Jones. And he says, you know, I've been running with the Avengers. I've seen some bad shafts done to people. But screwing up a whole world is the worst. The absolute worst. And Rick Jones is fired up against Thanos. He says he wants the whole galaxy. He's going to be stopped, man. I'm swearing it here and now. And if Rick Jones ain't got the power, then my alter ego does. And he bangs his negative bands together and switches places with Captain Marvel. And once again, Marvel remarks on the emotionality of Rick Jones, saying, young Rick's fired by emotions. I don't share them, Titans, but nevertheless, I've seen what Rick has seen and more. So as combat warrior for the warrior Kree, I'm bound to the Kree battle code. So when a fight is there, I'm going to choose my side and I'm not going to give up until I have victory or death. And he says, so gents, for my honor and yours, Captain Marvel fights for Titan. Meanwhile, Thanos is continuing his teleportation to Earth. He's brought death along with him. And he teleports, lands near a cave somewhere on some island somewhere called the Isle of Darinares. And heads into a cave. And as they head in, there's a glowing light. Thanos is happy to have found the cube. But just as he reaches for it, saying, once I possess it and it me, no being born of woman can stop me. We see the destroyer show up saying, true, Thanos, but there's one who can crush your enemies. I, Thanos, born not of woman nor of man. I, the destroyer. So Drax is there in the nick of time to save the day and to prevent Thanos from taking control of the cosmic cube. Meanwhile, thousands of miles away, Avengers headquarters in New York, we see Luann has showed up there trying to enlist the aid of the Avengers. She has Rick Jones's Avengers ID, and that's how she's trying to prove that she belongs, but none of them recognize her, right? They activate the visual monitor. It's a girl. I don't recognize her. She has Rick Jones' card, but it could be a trap, someone who's stolen Rick's entry pass. You know, they don't get the benefit of the doubt. And even Captain America, he says, right, Shellhead, I say we meet her with force. Don't ask her questions. Don't give her the benefit of the doubt. We're going to meet her with force. You know, it's just a girl. I don't really see why they get so fired up, but yet they do. And as Captain America opens the door, Luann collapses into his arms. saying, Captain America's taken all my strength just to break the control to reach here. There's a trap set for Rick. You must save him. And Captain America's trying to ask questions. Trapped by whom? Who are you? And she says, I'm Luann. And Thanos. And she passes out. And Captain America like, Thanos? What is that? Answer me. And he's all fired up too, saying she's collapsed under the strain. She must have walked through hell to get here. And we can't help her. So, Captain America, he's having a tough day, man. I'm going to chalk it up to Starlin being a young writer. But yeah, no reason for Cap to be this fired up, you know, wanting to basically go and punch first, ask questions later. It's completely antithetical to who Cap is. But yeah, he's really fired up. So meanwhile, back on Titan, Captain Marvel's asking for details. Okay, what are our immediate objectives? And Eros is like, an attack. What else? We fight. And Mentor's like, he's right. You've got to be our spearhead, Marvel. Thanos has most likely departed, so he's left the science hall, and it's particularly vulnerable. And they head over there, and Marvel's saying, well, it looks pretty fortified. What's our weapon situation? What about our number of troops? And they're like, well, you're the weapon, and you're the troops. We have a whole army of three now, says Eros. And Captain Marvel's like, wait, what? You mean we're the weapons and we're the troops? Mentor says, yes, basically that's the case. Thanos has killed everybody else. And so Captain Marvel's like, And before he can make a decision one way or the other, some of Thanos' minions show up saying, you're under arrest for treason against the Emperor. And Mentor just, he's had enough. He says, you speak of treason. I created this world. I sired your Emperor. And now you accuse me of treason. No one accuses me of treason. And he lashes out at them. And Eros says, they're probably just a patrol. But this attack will alert the main guard. And Mentor saying, yeah, we've got to act quickly. Thanos has tapped your entire mind. He knows everything that you know. Marvel, so he's going to be able to anticipate your every move. So we've got to destroy those tapes. We've got to destroy what he learned from you and from Rick Jones. And Mentor shows him where they are and says, you destroy them while we guard them. And Captain Marvel says, say no more. They're as good as erased. So meanwhile, Super Skrull is in the control room trying to get information himself on what exactly Thanos has been scheming for. And he says, oh, the cosmic cube. That's what Thanos was after. And then all of a sudden his study is interrupted by a sound as Captain America breaks into the control room saying, Super Skrull, my task is doubled. And believe me, Skrull, so is my pleasure. And we get another big flashback here from Isaac talking about Rick Jones and the Cosmic Cube and how Rick Jones got to have that information in his mind. So apparently during the Kree-Skull War, Rick was possessed by the Supreme Intelligence of the Kree, which had the information about where the Cosmic Cube was. And the rationale for why the Supreme Intelligence left that information in Rick's unconscious isn't completely known, but they suspect it was so that Rick Jones would be able to recall the information in case of some universal doomsday event where the heroes needed access to the cube. So as Marvel overhears Isaac telling all this, he says, doomsday, but there's nothing of that sort in the cards. So how did Thanos find out Rick had this information? And Super Skrull says, you'll never know, you sniveling Kree. Besides, there's doom on the horizon. Yours, Captain Marvel, yours. Meanwhile, outside, Mentor and Eros are doing their best to hold their own against the quote-unquote scum of the universe. But they're quickly being overwhelmed. There are just so many troops that Thanos has under his control. So meanwhile, Captain Marvel continues to fight against Super Skrull, who's using all the powers of the Fantastic Four to try to defeat Captain Marvel, including going Nova with the Human Torch powers, which burns away Captain Marvel's costume. But it's not enough it's just not enough to stop Captain Marvel. It's day on Titan. It's perpetually sunlight on Titan. And we know that only strengthens Captain Marvel as he is right now. And so he's eventually able to defeat the Super Skrull. with one giant punch knocking him into the control panel, which destroys it. And the troops are routed outside when they see the Super Skrull fall. That gives them pause. They're like, Thanos is not here. The Super Skrull has fallen. Run for your lives. And so Eros is happy. He tells Mentor, Thanos' army flees in panic. I sure hope Marvel didn't sacrifice himself for this victory. And as they head inside, they see that he lives. And they ask what happened. What's this destruction? And Marvel says, I smashed Super Skrull into the tapes. And I believe him to be dead. But then he says, no, wait. He moves. And the Super Skrull struggles to his feet. He must retrieve the globe that Thanos left for him. The Unisphere that supposedly was the last line of defense. And Super Skrull's in bad shape. He's like holding his ribs. He's coughing. He says, Thanos said the globe would protect him. He must get it. And then he pulls it out and he calls on the power of the globe saying, blast forth, destroy my enemies, destroy anything, do something, but it does nothing. It does nothing. And Super Skrull eventually drops it. It bounces a couple times and then crashes as the Super Skrull falls to the floor. And Captain Marvel, sort of gloating, but sort of just considering it justice, says, you were fooled by promises, Skrull, by a ruler who felt you owed them all and that he owed you nothing. So combat was your life, Skrull, and it was ugly, and death by combat is ugly as well, just like you. And so supposedly the Super Skrull's dead. I mean, obviously that's not the case. He returns time and time and time again. But Starlin here killing the Super Skrull and giving us again a real glimpse into who Thanos is going to be, right? Thanos, a ruler who felt you owed him all. Thanos feels that those that worship him, those beneath him, those he rules, owe their very lives to him, and he owes them nothing in return. I mean, what's the point of even telling Super Skrull, hey, I'm giving you this weapon to defend yourself as a last resort, that, you know, this Unisphere that did absolutely nothing. It's kind of strange. But anyway, they check the computer and they see that indeed the information has been erased from Isaac. And Mentor talks about how well Captain Marvel has fought but always from a distance, in gleaming spaceships with death soundless and distant. But with the Super Skrull dead at his feet, he sees the personal cost now. And he also looks upon Mentor, who's been ravaged by this war. That's destroyed the world that he created, the world that he loves. And not only is it war that's destroyed this beloved Titan, it's war with his own son. And Captain Marvel looks upon him and thinking that he sees a man who was once bore the grace of God, basically. And in a way, Captain Marvel sees himself in that pain. Once gentle, now harsh. Once kind, now vengeful. Once soft, now hard. And he asks himself, for what? Titan is still enslaved. They've won a small battle, not the war. And Thanos is about to take control of the cosmic cube. And the destruction of the universe, the conquest of the universe by Thanos is still on the horizon. And Captain Marvel can't think but why. Why is this happening? And as we see this panel that Starlin drew, with Marvel and Mentor looking at each other and sharing that moment where they both realize what's to come, that yes, they've won this small skirmish, they've won this small battle, but the war is far from over. And this panel is absolutely incredible. I think that anybody reading the comics at the time had to be absolutely blown away by the level of detail, the level of emotion, the layout of the panel. I mean, it's classic Starlin, and, you know, we certainly still appreciate it and don't take it for granted now, but I'm sure it doesn't have the impact it does now that it did then, because it's just gorgeous. It shows that Starlin was really somebody who had a huge level of talent. I mean, the panel's just absolutely amazing. I'm going to put a screen capture of the panel in the show notes so you can go and take a look and have the opportunity to see what I'm talking about. It's, you know, for a 1973-74 comic, whenever this came out, I think it was 73, to have this level of detail and you know, it's on newsprint and it's not the greatest coloring in the world, but it's absolutely incredible. So the story continues with Mentor telling Marvel that he must return to Earth, for the front of the war is there. And Marvel's like, well, but what about you guys? And Mentor says, well, we must remain. We've got to continue to battle for our home, our heritage, our Titan. And he transports Captain Marvel with a beam of power from his hand, saying, farewell, Captain Marvel, we'll meet again. And where he transports him is to Avengers headquarters. And when Marvel appears, he sees Black Panther. And Black Panther's like, oh, Captain Marvel, showing up on the roof of the Avengers mansion. Why are you here? And Captain Marvel says, for now, I guess I'm looking for a girl. And Panther says, oh, it must be the one who just came here. She's breathing, but she collapsed, and she's near death. And as Captain Marvel sees her lying there, we see Rick Jones's head floating over his shoulder, obviously distraught, as he yells out, Luann! And we get the blurb, next, to save a life, plus the Destroyer returns. So how will our heroes save Luann? Is it possible for her to be saved? And what's going to happen with Thanos and the Destroyer? Who will emerge victorious? Will the Destroyer be able to keep Thanos from obtaining the Cosmic Cube? What's going to happen with bringing the Avengers into the fight? Clearly, the story is just getting started, and it's growing in scope. I love the fact that we're bringing the Avengers in, even this hot-headed version of Captain America. So, again, as this story goes on, you can see the improvement of Starlin in his artwork, in the story that he's telling, as it starts to crystallize and take shape. It's happening over a period of months, and it's kind of surprising just how much improvement you can see in Starlin's artwork and in the story. He takes over scripting eventually from Mike Friedrich, and it's just incredible how quickly Starlin kind of gets the hang of telling these stories. And there's a reason these are classics, and in a way they stand the test of time. Yes, the dialogue is a little hokey, but even this issue, there's a much less than the previous issue, and even the issue before that, when it comes to kind of the slang and the hokey dialogue. So again, it's classic stuff. It's fun stuff. If you are a fan of Thanos, I do recommend checking this stuff out. It's been collected in various Thanos omnibuses over the years, most recently because he's become such a popular player, such a popular character, and obviously huge in the MCU right now. So that's going to do it for this episode. We'll cover issue 28 next time, which is a really fun issue as well. And yeah, I can't wait to read more Thanos and talk about it more for you guys. So once again, I want to thank everybody for joining. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, all past episodes of the podcast are available on all those platforms, as well as at lrmonline.com. While you're at the site, please check out all the other pop culture coverage of your favorite and upcoming movies and TV shows. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.